isn't a pineapple under the sea.
SpongeBob SquarePants is a popular animated character who lives in the sea with his friends. One of his friends, named Patrick, a pink starfish, was awarded a Gold Cup trophy for doing absolutely nothing longer than anybody else, which was number one on the list of Patrick's top five lazy moments. Do you know somebody like Lazy Patrick, the starfish? Maybe he is you. Are you a lazy person? We all have times when we'd like to check into the Lazy Day Resort, but lacking diligence is a real problem and a character issue. Proverbs warns, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a robber, and want like an armed man. I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a robber, and want like an armed man. That's Proverbs 24, verses 33 and 34. And this is Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for tuning in. Being lazy may seem harmless enough, certainly not as destructive as anger, pride, or lust. But there's a reason slothfulness finds its way into this list of the seven deadly sins. Ron tells us all about it next as he continues his teaching series, Undefeated, Overcoming the Deadly Sins That Drag You Down. Online, you'll find us at somethinggoodradio.org, where you can hear any of Ron's messages on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Let's join Ron as he delivers part two of his Something Good message, Defeating Laziness.
I came out of the business world years ago into vocational ministry, and one of the things that concerned me was that the ministry can really be a place that fuels laziness in pastors if they're not careful. Because you only see me on Sunday. You don't see me during the week. I can turn it on Sunday. It's easy to coast in the ministry. It's never been my wiring to work that way. I didn't work in the business world that way. But one time I had a pastor on my staff years ago in another state. He was a worship pastor, and I came on staff, and I'm, you know, go, 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 work, 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 and here are some ideas, here are some things that we could do. And I could tell there was a little bit of resistance coming my way. And one day he came up to me and he says, you know, Pastor, he says, the people around here just don't have that high of expectations. And it was all I could do from just jumping into the middle of him. Because what he was communicating to me was, I'm that guy that is trying to figure out the least I can do to keep my paycheck and keep my job. Why are we raising expectations? Why are we doing more than what people expect us to do? I'll tell you why. Because you're working for the Lord Christ. You're serving Him. And that's not just a thing for ministers and people in the ministry. It's for any of us that take a job. I know your boss may not be your ideal person to work for, but whatever you do, the Bible says, work heartily. Bring your whole heart to it. It ought to be said of Christians in the workplace, they're the best workers out there. I get the American worker, the American work ethic, and we celebrate that. The Christian worker ought to be the best worker in the plant or the best worker in the office because they bring their whole heart. You're willing to go the extra mile, not just to do enough to keep your job and to get a paycheck, clocking in and clocking out. And I know we don't want to wander into the world of workaholism and we want to balance work and all of that. But listen, 40 hours of work means 40 hours of productive work that you're giving. Not 10 of it sitting around the water cooler and chit-chatting. Or 10 of it figuring out, how can I just kind of coast and slide by? Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Practice diligence. Number two, consider the consequences of laziness. Let's go back into the book of Proverbs, which through multiple pithy statements lays out some warnings. It warns the sluggard. It warns the slothful person. It warns the person who's just trying to skate by in a way that nobody notices in the office that you're just skating by. Consider these consequences. Number one is poverty. Proverbs 10 and verse 4, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Proverbs 14 and verse 23, in all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. Another consequence is shame. Proverbs 10 and verse 5, he who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. Shame. How about hunger as a consequence of laziness? Proverbs 12 and verse 11, whoever works his hand will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. Or Proverbs 19 and verse 15, slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Another word that the Bible uses to describe slothfulness and sluggardness and laziness is idleness. The person who just parks it and puts it in idle when he should be putting it in drive and pressing the accelerator and go, go, go. It's work time. It's double time. Let's get to work now. Another consequence of laziness is disappointment. Proverbs 13 and verse 4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. And have you ever been there when the lazy person says, why did you get rewarded like that? Why did you get the promotion? Why do you have what you have? Well, because I worked hard for it. And the sluggard, he craves, he wants those things, but they don't come to him. Which leads me to the last consequence, no career advancement. Listen to this in Proverbs 12 and verse 24. The hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. Have you noticed that in your work situation, in your office? The hardworking person eventually gets the promotion. The hardworking person who goes the extra mile, who does maybe more than the job description requires, not less. Well, the hand of the diligent will rule. The slothful will be put to forced labor. I take that to mean you're going to be in a job you hate because you never got promoted, you never got moved and advanced. The consequences of laziness. So practice diligence. Consider the consequences of laziness. And then thirdly, imitate hardworking people. Let's go back to Proverbs again. And this time to chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, where the writer of Proverbs says, go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? And then hear those familiar words that we found in chapter 24. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a robber and want like an armed man. Poverty or sluggardness and slothfulness will rob you of everything that you want. But he gives an example here. He says, check out the ant. Check out this tiny little creature that doesn't have a chief or a ruler, doesn't have anybody say, it's time to get up, time to go to work. Oh, it's time to do this. Have you done that? If you're a boss or a business owner and you have a lazy, sluggardy kind of person, you're always having to tell them what to do. The best employee is the one who's five steps ahead of you, who understands the mission and the direction that you're going, and they've already anticipated. Go to the ant. This little tiny creature doesn't need somebody telling him what to do, but oh, the productivity in an ant colony. It's really one of those amazing things in nature. You know, today is Father's Day. And I got to tell you, some of the work ethic that I learned growing up, I learned from my dad. My dad was he grew up on the farm in Iowa. He has a farmer's hands. I mean, my dad will shake your hand, and if you're not careful, he'll break your knuckles. He's got a grip that developed when, he worked the farm. He later left the farm, came into the city, worked a few careers, landed in real estate. My dad was always a hard worker. Sometimes, he'll even admit, creeped into, that area of workaholism and didn't always balance work and life very well. But he was a hard, hard worker. My dad used to, sometimes we'd get up on Saturdays and he'd say, "Hey, boys," I had two brothers, "boys, come on out here, let's rake some leaves." And we lived in this neighborhood that had these huge oak trees, and during the fall, they'd drop, pounds and pounds and pounds of leaves. And he'd go, "Let's just go rake a few leaves." And we'd be there from 9 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 35 bags later, and I'm like, "Dad, no." But if there was work to be done, there was work to be done. And I didn't do very well as a young person, doing that kind of work, I always wanted to go play with my friends or play baseball or basketball in the neighborhood. But I learned hard work from the good example of my dad, who was very diligent and got the job done and finished the job well.
Dr. Ron Jones will be right back with the second half of today's message, Defeating Laziness. Remember, you can stop by somethinggoodradio.org anytime to find out more about the ministry or to order selected resources like the series you're hearing right now, Undefeated, Overcoming the Deadly Sins That Drag You Down. The entire audio download of this 8-message series can be yours today for a gift to Something Good Radio. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org. Mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. Or call our offices at 757-276-1099. And now, here's Ron with the rest of today's Something Good Radio message, Defeating Laziness.
One more example. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. The example of the ant. You may have a personal example in your father or somebody else that modeled this for you. But here's an example the Apostle Paul gave of himself to the church in Thessalonica. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, "Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice how he brings the authority of Jesus Christ himself to what he's about to say. He says that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition you receive from us. Those are strong words. He says, stay away from the sluggard. Stay away from the slothful person. By all means, don't hire that person. Do your homework in the hiring process. Make sure you're not onboarding a sloth or a sluggard. He says, I'm telling you this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, stay away from that person. And then he says in verse 7, "For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we did not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate." Paul had every right to expect to be paid for the ministry that he was doing amongst the Thessalonians. But Paul says, no, I'm going to work for my bread. I'm going to work for my living because I'm going to set an example for you here. He goes on to say, "For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat." This ought to be written on public policy in Washington, D.C., and in state houses and in local. If you're not willing to work, we're not going to just keep handing out food stamps. Do we need a safety net for people who need a safety net? Absolutely. But we took a giant step Well, back to the good old American Puritan biblical work ethic when we said, no, we need a welfare to work program. Quit incentivizing people, government, to not work. We're in the midst of this global pandemic, and we're coming out of it some, and businesses are starting up again. I got a haircut a couple of weeks ago, and I went to the place where I get my haircut. I said just, you know, real casually, I was a little surprised you guys didn't, you know, start working and start cutting hair as soon as the governor said it was time to do that. And she says, well, some of us kind of figured out that we were making more money collecting unemployment than we were working, so we stretched it out a couple more weeks. The government needs to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Stop incentivizing people not to work, and the good old American productivity will fire up the engine again. Paul was pretty straightforward about that. Paul gave them an example of hard work to imitate. You got anybody like that in your life? Maybe your father, your grandfather? A friend, a neighbor? Parents, grandparents, are you providing that kind of example to your kids and your grandkids? Will they ever look back on Father's Day, dads, granddads, and say, wow, my granddad, my father, I learned how to work hard, to put in a good day's work from my father who worked hard. And his work ethic was rooted in faith. So practice diligence. Consider the consequences of laziness. Imitate hard-working people. And unless you need a little bit of laughter during that time of just normal need for rest and relaxation, I suppose it's okay to watch a little bit of SpongeBob, Patrick, the lazy pink starfish, but don't imitate him. Don't imitate him. He won an award for the top 5 lazy moments in his life. Are you kidding me? I guarantee you in heaven there's no reward for slothfulness. Not a single one. But when we get to heaven, oh, we will worship the Lord, but there's work to be done as well. You read the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, the picture of the new heaven and the new earth. If you've got some idea that heaven is a place where you're going to float around on clouds and strum your harp, you haven't read the Bible. There's work to be done, but it'll be back to paradise. We've gone from paradise to paradise lost, where work is harder. It's more difficult to be productive. Maybe we need more time to rest, but we're heading back to paradise as believers in Jesus Christ, and we will work for all of eternity, working out God's great plans and purposes. And we will be fulfilled in our work like we were meant to be fulfilled. No sluggards, no sloths, no Patrick the pink starfish winning any awards for his top 5 lazy moments. Let's defeat laziness. So that if the Lord were to call us home today, he says, yeah, that's great. I got a guy or a gal walking into eternity right now. They've been a good worker on earth. They're going to be a great worker in heaven. Jesus said, my Father is always working, and I am working too. He said that in response to some who took him to task for healing a man on the Sabbath. You know what kind of work he's doing? He's working overtime to draw men and women and boys and girls to the cross of Jesus Christ, and he's doing that work right now in some of your hearts, whether you're here in person or you're watching online. He's working hard to get you to the cross where you find forgiveness of your sins and a home in heaven where that free gift of eternal life becomes your possession by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The work the Father sent Jesus to do was a work of redemption and a work of reconciliation through the cross. He went into the grave. He rose triumphantly on the third day. And Jesus says, it is finished. It's finished. The work that you sent me to do is finished. He hung around for another 40 days or so and then ascended to the Father. He promised he's coming again. But that work of redemption was complete. He didn't stop short. He didn't, try to shortcut it in any way. He finished the work. He got the job done. And he's coming back to get us one day. Are you ready for that? Have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Have you responded to the call? The Bible says that for by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The good news, even as we talk about laziness and we talk about a biblical theology of work, you don't work for your salvation. The work's already been done. Jesus did all the work that was necessary for us to be reconciled to him by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead. So maybe one of the easiest things for us to do is just come to faith in Christ. Doesn't require any work on our part. In fact, your works, they won't even get you in the door. That's the good news today. So work in your job, be diligent at what you do, but don't work for your salvation. The work's already been done by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks so much for being here for today's Something Good radio message, Defeating Laziness. Well, the consequences of laziness can be serious business, but at first blush, it doesn't seem nearly so deadly as the deadly sins of pride, lust, or anger. Let's bring Ron in to talk about this for a moment. Ron, it seems to me, after hearing today's message, that laziness is far more serious than we might think.
It absolutely is, Brian. For starters, perpetual laziness brings about poverty. Yes, poverty. This is one of the reasons why laziness shows up as one of the seven deadly sins, because it is universally and quite literally deadly. As I said in part one of this message, which, by the way, can be found on demand at somethinggoodradio.org, slothfulness is one of the deadly sins because it undermines productivity in society, and it ultimately undermines God's redemptive plan. So laziness is quite serious at the individual level, but Brian, perpetual laziness results in poverty, as I said earlier. But it is equally serious, perhaps even more serious, at the national or global level. Just look at our country today. The great American work ethic still exists to some degree, but we've raised up a generation of people in this country who, quite frankly, feel entitled to get paid, not to work. The consequences have been profound. And we've lived for most of this century in an economically weakened America. I don't mean to get too political here, so I'll just stop by saying this. We as believers in Jesus Christ need to set the tone to demonstrate what a healthy work ethic looks like, and also to demonstrate the benefits of a solid work ethic. Now, we do not ultimately answer as Christians to our supervisors, our bosses, or even to the owners of the companies for which we work. No, we answer to, the owner of it all. That is God himself. We may not be able to change the world by doing our work heartily as unto the Lord, but Brian, we might just be able to change our little corner of it.
That's Dr. Ron Jones with some final thoughts from his message, Defeating Laziness. Well, Ron, you know how it goes around here. The clock is always ticking. What's on the docket for us tomorrow as you push ahead in your current series on the seven deadly sins?
Well, Brian, when I was growing up in Indiana, I often heard sermons about the dangers of smoking and drinking, and rightly so, because practicing such things can be dangerous to your health. And seeing as how our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, according to the Scriptures, well, we should take care of them. But in all that time, I never heard a single sermon or a single admonition about gluttony. But gluttony made it on the list of Pope Gregory's seven deadly sins. And if gluttony is one of the seven deadly sins, then we ought to take a serious look at the reasons why. And that's exactly what I'll be doing right here on Something Good Radio.
That's next time when Dr. Ron Jones shares his message, Defeating Gluttony. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for listening.